You that have your Bibles, we're in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. I did read through this chapter the last time, so I won't read the whole chapter again, but probably what we'll go over. This is the 6th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And just going by this, when we go get over in the 7th chapter, we're going to find out in the 7:6, it's the newness of the Spirit. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I won't say anything on this, but while I'm looking at it, I'm thinking about it. If you read Brother Copley's sanctification on this, he's going to bring out about sin, and he says that almost every time in this sanctification part, that sin is the sin. It's the definite article. You that have studied the Greek and West, you'll see that he tries to say the same thing. And to clear it up for you, if you read that, what they're saying is this, and in the Greek, if you check it, that's what it is. The definite article, the sin, is the sin that Adam sinned, not the sins he sinned. Understand that? So that's what you can see. It'll make it more clear to you as you read through it. The sin. The sin of disobedience when he fell and when he became a sinner. Not the sins that he sinned afterwards. See, we didn't inherit his afterwards sin. We inherited the sin. And that's why it's got the definite article with it when you read it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. In that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, here's where we really start God making bad men good. This is the sanctification part. All that it is the overcomer. That's what it is. It's the life. Whether you're going to live an overcoming life or whether you're going to be defeated. Now, Paul, he had many people like you'll have today that'll tell you that if you preach the grace message, then people will sin. Oh, good. I'll go out and sin. So this is what he's going to do in these seven chapters. He is going to say that, oh, do you quit sinning when you're under law? I had a guy tell me one time, I says, oh, you're saying that you quit sinning because you're under law. He says, oh, no. He knew I was working with him. He didn't dare say that to me, see? In other words, Paul is saying this is the only way. He's not going to say that you're not going to quit sinning and you might completely be defeated. But later over in 7, he's going to say this, if you try to do it by law, that sin's going to abound more and more. And I've known many, many a Christian that were under legality and they failed and they said, what the? I just wills really do it. See, they really got into sinning because they couldn't do it. And then the ones that were supposedly doing it was trying to hide from everybody. And they were self-righteous in front of everybody. So, which is an abominable thing to God, self-righteousness. So what Paul says here, what I'm going to tell you is the only thing that will work. Now, my dad, when he first gave this, many of you will remember him saying this. He'll say the first thing is I taught my children about fire. And I said, now that fire will burn you. And they didn't say why. Because if you said that to my dad, he'd say, because I said so. That's why. Now see, you might not understand this, but you're going against God's word if you don't believe it first. A child has to learn about fire. If he plays with matches, he can get burned. Now my dad wasn't going to let us get burned all the time, little babies, and get picked up for abuse. For not watching a child, and neither is God. But then there comes a day that if you insist, you can't watch over them forever, they're going to get burned. If that's the only way they can learn. Now, if you can't learn, when God says something here, and this is Him saying it, Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you. His church that he was going to build. And then he left. Where did he say them? Right here. This is him saying it. And the first thing you're going to learn is you have to know it. That's why he says, notice number 3. Know ye not? Knowing this. That's number 6. And then we'll go all the way through. No. And he'll start off the 7th chapter, know ye not. Now this is something that you're going to have to know. When he writes Galatians, whether you know that you're justified forever or not, he says that isn't going to make any difference. You're still justified. But unless you know this, and it's the same as Eve in the garden, the first thing the devil said to her, I'll say again, hast God said? It's the first thing he said. Is this his word? And then as he got her to listen, and as he slowly began to distort everything around her, he got her in her clutches and he said, "Thou shalt surely not die." First, you won't die. But then he assured, "This is not the word of God. God didn't mean this was the way of sanctification, the grace way. He didn't mean that." See? That's where he gets you. Then you have to yield to it. When I was a child, I didn't have to start understanding everything. You explain that to me. I don't understand that, Dad. Huh? Now, later on, I learned that fire can burn you. And I'd almost rather have anything than a burn. How about you? See? And you will learn the way of victory through this when you accept it as God's word. Paul explains this as he goes from 8 through clear to the end. He realizes what he just told you, that the old man is crucified. See? That you're going to feel a bunch of emotions. And you're going to have a bunch of trouble afterwards. Okay? So then he explains what he said. But the first thing you've got to realize is the old man is crucified. And it's not my old man, it is the old man. There's two people in the fifth chapter that he has used his heads, which is true. There isn't three men, there's only two. And Adam and Christ, two men. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the only identity you have is Adam. And you were born into a realm of death. There's two realms. There's two men. There's two realms. The realm of death and the realm of life. There's two servants. I mean masters here. You either serve sin or you serve righteousness. We'll read that here. It says exactly that in this chapter. That is your master. Of course, you yield to the Christ life. It can do nothing but righteous. But you're going to have to serve it. You're no free agent. You'll serve one or you'll serve the other. He'll get that right. Now, as we brought out that this baptism here was into. It isn't upon or by. You read in Acts, it's upon or by. By is the formula that we always use, which we baptize in Jesus' name. That's why it's saying there, by the name of Jesus. Here, it's into an identity. You're into a realm that you can never get out of. But if you try to go over here and live in the realm of death, you're going to suffer death. He gets into that in the 19th and 20th verses and tells you it's going to happen. That's the ultimate what'll happen to you. You get over here. Not that you'll be dead, but if you try to live into death, that's a different realm. You can't have the abundance of life by doing that. And if you're not in there, you'll never get in there except through Christ. All this is through Christ. There is so much confusion on what is, notice, it's our old man, not men. There's just one. Just one. And the old man is not sin. And the old man is not self. You see? That's where people get so mixed up. Sin isn't going to be did away with. Sin wasn't crucified. It was here before we got here. You know that. See? It isn't sin. He destroyed sin in the old man. As far as God's, He has put Him to death. And He did it at Calvary. See, you've got to start believing with God what He has did. And that's what He's trying to say. And then when we get down into self, you'll find out, I'll read here. Like 11, likewise, reckon also yourselves. You don't reckon the old man dead. He is dead. You count with God. That's gone. He never sees you there again. See? You reckon yourself dead. You see, self, Jesus had self. It says He pleased not Himself. What was wrong with His self? Nothing. What's wrong with yourself at times? Nothing. But like Dad used to say, here's somebody that they know that you haven't got the, they haven't got the victory over eating meat or eating ham. Paul deals with this in Corinthians. Or bacon. So you sit down right in front of them. I'm the strong brother. I ain't denying self. I ain't that stupid. Jesus denied Himself. Because He loved. So, that's what He's saying. You gotta, what does He say? You gotta crucify self. How many times a day? He says, all day long, pick up your cross. You're going to have to give up some things. You're going to be like Jesus. That's what heaven's about. That's what the new nature is about. Not so. It all depends on God. But not the old man. The old man, it says, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin, that was the original, might be destroyed. And it was. That is what it was. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, you haven't got sin taken out root and branch. Now, the Wesleys, that's the only thing they could come to. And many groups try to say, well, if you get your second act of sanctification, sin is taken out. Sin isn't taken out. You're free from it because you've got a stronger life of Christ living in there. It's in the life and the realm of life and light. You never would sin if you yield to that. You never would. I wouldn't. Nobody else was. Now, of course, we do because we yield to self. Understand that. Oh, how hard it is for us to not have our rights as Christians. Even when we're right. Was Jesus right? Huh? He says over and over and over, I'm not pleasing myself. I'm pleasing the Father. What He wants me to do, I'm doing. See? So, going with 8 or 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now we understand that. There isn't any corpses out here in these graveyards sinning, are they? They're not doing nothing. So, and that is in this body. Remember, he's still telling you you're immortal here. And you still have sin in the flesh. And sin has weakened that body. He hasn't did the final act on any of us here. And that's why we have so much trouble with it. And that's why he gives these lessons here to you. That you're not immortal. You're immortal until he changes your body. Then you'll be free from the presence. Now you're free from the power. And so is any corpse out there. So is Christ. It says there in 5, for if we were planted together in the likeness of his death, that's exactly identified with him. Now, are you going to call God a liar and say that that hasn't happened to each and every one of us that have been planted with him? That as far as God was concerned, he's seen us in our representative at that time. And every one of us that has believed on him has this power of this resurrected life. You see, the sinner, he has the fallen life. The Christian has the resurrected life. Adam, there was no resurrected life creature. Angels, those that disobeyed, there's nothing for them. We're a creature of resurrection. We're on the other side of resurrection. Therefore, death can never touch us again. We're in a realm of life and the abundance of life. So he asked you, how can you people that have been taken, and Jesus over and over said, he that hath believed on me hath passed from death. I was born in death, so were you. See? He said, well, I was alive when I was born. You was born in death. You were born in the realm of death. And if you die in that realm, you'll face a second death. You have been brought out of that realm and can never go back to that realm. But you go over there, he says, and act like you can live in that realm. You can't live in that realm. Nobody can live in that realm. You can exist. But once you're alive, it just, as he's going to say in the 19th verse, it just gets bad after a while. So, it says now if we, you're not rid of sin in the flesh, but you're free. You got the power over it. Now you can serve righteousness. As he'll say over there in 18. See that? being made free from sin. You'll either do that, or that's the not that that isn't your natural sins, like Brothers Copley says. That in the Greek is read like this: being made freed from the sin, the nature of sin, and become the servants or a bondman. That's how Paul always starts off. I'm the servant of righteousness. Ain't that great to be the servant of righteousness? When you finally get there, it ain't so bad. Huh? Matter of fact, it's good. Matter of fact, it's great. Wake up every morning and want to just do righteous things all day long. Huh? That's when you're not serving sin. The sin, that old nature, has not been taken out, but you sure have a nature in there that's a lot more powerful than that. So, this is another thing. Jesus is never going to die again, is he? You only die once, don't you? A state that some serial killer kills a whole bunch of people in each state, the state that executes that person, those other states don't go over there and get that body, do they? He's passed from that. And Christ is alive. We don't even know him after the flesh. See? That is past. We're a new creature, which is a resurrected creature, not a fallen creature. And to go into all a resurrection is it's bought out of the marketplace of slavery to sin, never, ever to be sold again. That's what it is. For he that is dead is freed from sin, not writ. But if, or since, we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him over there in that realm. So, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Notice he's trying to tell you who has the dominion. Sin and death does not have dominion over you. You've been taken out of that realm. And finally, when you realize that, then you trust God and the Holy Ghost begins to work. And you find out, sure enough, this works. I should have listened to you all along and quit trying to do it. And believe these things here and simply let, say, okay, Lord, I know this for a fact. And the Holy Spirit, sure enough, can do some work. And when he starts to work, you'll find out this is the only way it works. You're finally through the switch. And sure enough, there's enough power in that. I could never make those lights come on without those generators. I don't care how much I tried and how good the wiring was. But it'll never come on until you throw that switch. And until you understand this, of course the switch is the faith in this, and believing what God has said is true. The old man is dead. You're never going to get rid of sin in the flesh because you're immortal. And you're here until he changes your body or translates it, and then you'll completely be the third work and you'll be done. And you won't have to worry about sin at all anymore. Now, you don't have to worry about now. See, if you'll throw the switch. But, of course, he's trying to explain that to you. Telling you that this thing is dead. And then, all these experiences, he says, that you're going to go through from 14 to 23. So that's why he's going to explain it. So you died. You died once. You can't charge. Of course, you can't charge even what you do or don't do. God isn't going to charge you. You're justified in His Son. But you're going to serve sin. You're not going to serve a righteous life. That's what it amounts to. You'll find that out. Likewise, reckon or count yourselves. Now get this, yourselves again. Self. See, you do count self. That's my rights. That's my rights when I'm right over something that isn't detrimental as a Christian with another Christian. Well, I know I'm right. See? Self. That's what you got to reckon with. To be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not. How do you let it? By not letting it reign in your mortal body. Not that you can get it out of there, but don't let it reign there. You have the dominion now. Because you have the Christ life that has completely defeated sin, the devil, and the world. And as Christ says, in this world, so are we. Whether you realize it or not, you are. Let not their sin reign. He's talking about reigning. Remember back in 5:21? That sin reigns through grace. That grace will do it. But it can only reign through righteousness. You can't get God to let the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says, broods over you all the time, wanting to work on you. He can't work on you unless it's the right way. That electricity will never get here without the right line. He don't work right like that. It doesn't say that you can grace will reign through lawlessness or something. See? It reigns through the righteous life of Christ that has already been proven. Every test he had, he proved in thought, word, and deed. See, in thought, when he was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All those years of just his thoughts, just his obedience. Matter of fact, he says, "This is the first man that I can fully live in. The Holy Spirit can live in him, and I can live in him fully." The Holy Spirit wasn't given to him in a measure. They were pleased to dwell in him. Because everything was not of self about him. See that? What he gave up. And that's the life he gave you. You can actually do that and laugh about it. I'm sure he laughed about it at times. Ye also yourselves be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Let not it reign. Because you got that light. Neither yield. Now yield, that's your members. To the sin. But yield yourself to God. That's the dead life. Dad used to say, you know what yielding is when you stick a gun in somebody's back 45, and you say, stick them up. Well, that's kind of a, what kind of a way to making you yield? But the reason he made that expression was, with a gun, was you better fear it. When God says you better yield, you better yield. And you know, I can't do that. But you know how he'd come down on this pulpit and shake this whole church when he said it. And I seen a woman back there faint once when he did that. She said, he scared the hell out of me. That was her very words. She was trying to get to that door. You know what I mean, don't you? You could feel it. Woo-wee. Put the hair up. Get those hands up. This is a 45. Huh? Yield. Yield because he knows fire is going to burn you. He knows you're not going to be an overcomer unless you take it this grace way. But he's made all the provision right here for you. The only thing you have to do is count. You don't have to understand it. You have to know that when he says it, it's so. So he says, neither yield your members, that's your senses, your hands, your feet. You got power over it. You didn't have power over it. You might not have ever, before you were saved, you might not have had as much problem doing immoral things as after you were saved. Because the devil wasn't tempting you at all. He was happy to just leave you right on your way, going right straight to hell. See? And not even knowing it. And then afterwards, it started to stir it up. You know? The devil, he's telling you here, I've got this all on a chain. He don't have the dominion. The world don't have the dominion, and neither does sin of self have the dominion. The life of Christ has the dominion. Just yield to it. Even if it at first seems like, whew, wow. See, you're not dying daily over in Corinthians. Paul, there's a tract Brother Copley wrote on dying daily. You know, you're not crucifying the old man daily. He is crucified. What Paul's talking about there is I die daily. Is he was facing it every day. See? He said, what if there's no resurrection? Why am I facing death every day? See? But it's self that you have to deny every day. Not the old man has died. So don't yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Of course, this is a life. This is the realm where you're at. You find out, he'll in the last part of this chapter, he's going to tell you the two more things. See, there's twos all the way through. And there's two more things. You go out and yield more and more, and it snowballs, don't it? Not satisfying. It gets worse and it gets worse. See, he's going to say, and you're going to pay the penalty of it. Okay? So when you yield, that life gets more righteous and wants to. More righteous and more righteous. Not that it's more righteous, but it walks in the righteousness. Not that a sinner, he's going to say, is more of a sinner. He just starts sinning more. all the time. And that's the realm you're in. Believe with God. Let's stand.